The Rebel Capitalist Show, episode 212.
Welcome to the podcast that helps you build wealth and thrive in a world of out-of-control central banks and big governments. This is the Rebel Capitalist Show.
Hi, guys. Hope you're well. Welcome to this evening's live stream. It is Sunday night. I'm right here in the temporary office in Phoenix, Arizona. Got a little sun this weekend because I was out watching the pros, the disc golf pros. For some reason, I really enjoy watching pro disc golf. I'm not very good at it. I won't go that far. But it was a treat this weekend because they were in town, so I went out and watched them today. It was really, really cool. But anyway, let's get into the questions. Guys, if you haven't checked out the Rebel Capitalist channel, definitely do so. It's me just giving my thoughts on news stories 2 to 3 times a day. And I actually do live streams just like this. They usually only last about 10 or 20 minutes. But check out the channel. I think you'll really enjoy it. And we just went into some personal stories last week of, I won't let the cat out of the bag. You'll have to go over there and check it out. But do so. I think you'll get a kick out of it. And I think you get a lot of value from it. So let me go ahead and start with the questions. Probably not going to go an hour tonight, guys, because it's getting late. I got to do dinner. I got a lot of stuff to do tomorrow. All righty. Let's see. Where's our first question? What's your opinion of Chris Cole's Dragon portfolio versus Ray Dalio all season? Oh, that's not even Chris Cole. Next. I'm a huge fan of anything Chris Cole does. He's such a smart guy. I've actually emailed his staff to see if he'd do an interview. And they said they're open to it, but he just didn't have time when I asked. So I got to actually put that on my to-do list to shoot them another email because it's been a couple months and get him on the show. Oh, that'd be awesome. He is one of my favorites for sure. So Dalio's all seasons portfolio, what is that? Is that the risk parity deal? I think that's the risk parity deal he does, which I don't like at all. And Chris Cole's Dragon portfolio, I really like. So even if it's not the risk parity, I'm going to go with Chris Cole every time. And if that is the risk parity portfolio, make sure you read Chris's paper because that goes over the last 120 years and shows you what would have happened if you would have owned a risk, like a 60-40 split portfolio or a risk parity where you're levering up on bonds. Make sure you do that. His paper is called The Allegory of the Hawk and Serpent. And it sounds weird, but it's an easy read. And the thrust of his argument is the first 20 pages. You can get it free online. Just go to his website, throw in your email, bam, you got a PDF. What are the chances the 10-year reverses course and goes back down to new lows? I think pretty good. Listen, when every single person thinks something's going to happen, usually the opposite happens. And I'm not here to say that I'm long-term, I'm a bond bull by any stretch. I wouldn't touch bonds here with a 10-foot pole. But everyone's on one side of that trade. So I think, I don't know if it goes back down to lows, but I definitely could see how it would go down over the next 2 or 3 months before it starts going back up again, just to shake out all the weak hands and nothing goes up in a straight line. Nothing. So, I mean, that's why I'm a little hesitant about copper, right? That's why I'm a little hesitant about Bitcoin, too. It's not that I don't like the underlying asset. It's just the price has gone up so much and that it seems like everyone is now on the inflation bandwagon. And when they are, I'm like, it makes me a little uneasy. Now, that doesn't mean that yields are going to go down. Just because George Gammon's uneasy, that's for sure. But I'm not going to say there's a higher probability of yields going down than yields going up. I'm not saying that at all. But most people attach a zero probability to yields going down. And I definitely would not do that. All-nighter hider in the house. Got to read their question. Do you have the desire to learn another asset class in which to invest? Do you feel well-rounded, knowledge, and knowledgeable enough as an entrepreneur or investor? Well, I mean, I never have enough knowledge. I'm always learning. That's one of the reasons why I do the YouTube channel, because it really helps me learn and it really helps me flesh out my own ideas. And, you know, I learn a lot, guys. I probably learn more than you guys do just by doing the YouTube channel, because a lot of the, when I'm doing a whiteboard video, you know, I get how a lot of things work, but I still have to get certain charts, and I have to figure out, you know, I have to do research. Even if I understand how the things work on the back end to where I can explain to you what's going on, you still gotta, it's not like I do every single one of those right off the top of my head. So that's just a huge learning experience for me. And oh my goodness. I mean, I knew quite a bit prior to starting the YouTube channel. You guys could probably guess that. But oh my gosh, I know, I know 1,000 times more now, just what, a year and a half later? It hasn't been 2 years yet. So a year and 9 months later or whatever, I know exponentially more. My knowledge has gone parabolic. My knowledge has increased more than the Fed's balance sheet. So yeah, I'm always trying to learn. I am. The next thing I'm really super stoked about learning is the real estate market in Dubai. I'll probably go there this summer. I mean, I've been saying that for the last few months here, haven't I? But at some point, I'm going to get over there because it's getting cheap, 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 cheap. It's just gone straight down since 2015. And anything that's gone down that long and nobody likes and everyone hates, I'm interested in. So I'm really anxious to go there and kick some tires. So that's probably the next thing or next asset class, if you want to call it that I'm really stoked about learning more about. I'm new to the world of investing, gold, silver, Mike Maloney's book, Rickard's new book. Do you have any recommendations about, what about Yellen's upcoming book? I just saw the punchline there. I thought when I was scratching my eye and I was reading that just out of one eye, and I just read the, what about Yellen's upcoming book? And I was just about ready to say, are you kidding me? Like, what? Come on now. And then I read the name of it here. That's actually a really good joke. For those of you who aren't seeing this, they said, what about Janet Yellen's upcoming book, I Gotta Have More Cowbell? that is really funny. As far as books, Market Wizards. You got to read the Market Wizards books for sure. I just start with the first one. And then I would read Thomas Sowell's Basic Economics. In today's day and age, I would read Thomas Sowell's book. And even mentioning the title on YouTube will get me in trouble, I'm sure. But let me see if I can just hold on a second, guys. So Thomas Sowell has a book that is so applicable to what's going on in the world today, not necessarily from an economic standpoint, but just from a social standpoint. It's called, I can't even really say it. I'm sure YouTube will demonetize the video, but it's basically called XYZ Rednecks and White Liberals. And just Google that and then Thomas Sowell. And I cannot recommend that book enough right now. But as far as economics and investing, you're going to want to get Beat the Dealer by Ed Thorpe. That's going to teach you how to think in terms of probabilities. That's a blackjack book. And then Market Wizards, that's going to teach you how all the pros think, which once you read the blackjack book, you'll be like, that's weird. Those pros think exactly like the blackjack guys. I wonder why that is. And then you'll say, aha, it's because they all think in terms of probabilities. That's why they've been successful. That's why they're pros, right? So read those two and then read Basic Economics by Thomas Sowell, just so you can start really understanding, I think, how to think. and then read that other one that I mentioned. And then I would also go on YouTube and watch Milton Friedman's series, Free to Choose. Not really a book, but it's a video series. Obviously, you guys like YouTube or you wouldn't be here. So check out Milton Friedman's Free to Choose series from back in the 1970s. I think you'll really love it. George, 401k options are index fund on equities, bonds, money market. What would you go for? I don't know. I mean, I'd just pay the tax. I'd just pay the damn tax and take the money out. Now, I'm not giving you investment advice. I'm just, boy, that's. It depends on what was in the index fund. What index fund? I mean, I hope you're not talking about S&P. I don't know. I mean, do they have some sort of commodities index fund? Maybe I don't know how it works. I guess I'd go with the index fund. See what? Where are some of the best places to go for historical economic data charts? Is there a one-stop shop? No, there's not. I just use Google, guys, for all the charts I do on the whiteboard videos. Just Google. I don't pay for any fancy service or anything like that. Like, I don't have a Bloomberg terminal. Just Googling it. Are commodity producers still a wise investment? Concerned that commodity stocks will fall during a significant market correction. Therefore, is it better just to be in precious metals? Well, precious metals definitely are unloved right now, Ken. And I love what is unloved. I just really, I don't know why. I just have been a contrarian my whole life. I really get like anxiety. Like if I'm doing something and I see that everyone else is now doing it, like I start to kind of get freaked out a little bit. I'm just... You know, I started going into real estate in 2012. Nobody wanted to be in real estate. Everyone thought I was crazy. That's where I feel comfortable. Then people started to get involved with real estate, you know, 2013, 14, 15. I'm like, I don't like this anymore. Now everyone's doing it. And then so what I do? I go to Medellin and start investing in real estate there. Same thing. Everyone tells me I'm crazy. Everyone tells me I'm going to get kidnapped and beheaded and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, great. I love it. That's where I like to invest. Now, the only thing that people I think would tell you you're crazy for owning, well, maybe not the people that watch this channel, but most pros, you know, quote unquote, or most of the talking heads on CNBC and Bloomberg, let's say that, would tell you you're crazy for owning gold. I saw a tweet from Mark Cuban the other day that I think he's a good barometer for the mainstream narrative. And he said that gold is dead. So, I don't know. But when people start saying that, especially famous people, that's when I get interested. So, I mean, personally, I'm looking at the miners. I'm not buying, to be clear, but I've definitely got them on a watch list because everyone is saying that now it's all about Bitcoin, all about Bitcoin, all about this, all about that, or it's all about real positive real rates or, you know, whatever. And so you got to forget that. And like I said, for me, that's when I start to get interested. Do you feel people holding investment real estate free and clear will be in a good position to ride out the coming storm? I mean, that really depends. If you've got some rental properties that are throwing off great cash flow in a solid neighborhood, I mean, yeah, you're going to weather the storm, but it's suboptimal because you've got a lot of equity at risk. But it'll definitely weather a storm. And again, I want to be very, very clear. If it's the right property, if it's the wrong property, you could have big problems. If it's the right, so what's a right property? A starter home in the suburbs in a great neighborhood, great school district. All the neighbors keep up their property, pride of ownership, all of these things. That's what you want. And I think if you've got something like that, you might lose some equity because at some point in time, prices have to come down. Now, whether they come down in nominal terms or real terms, I don't know. That's the real question. But they can come down in nominal terms because prices are at all-time highs. But if you're not going to sell and if you're all just collecting the cash, then you're in a great position to weather the storm. So it all depends on your strategy and what you're trying to achieve first and foremost, Terry. And then that goes back to your personal situation. Brendan asks, what's cheap in the near term? What we've been talking about on Rebel Capitalist Pro, Brendan, I'll use that as a cheap plug for my for my investment website. It's I don't even know how you get there. Oh, you can go to georgegammon.com/pro. So that's the investment website that I have with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden. And they're the pros, I'm the amateur. And what Lynn and Chris have been talking about a lot are foreign stocks. Some stocks in the United States, some commodity producers, but you know, they're both like, it's run up a lot. So there's still some stocks, foreign stocks that are, I would consider very cheap, have great cash, have paid great dividends. And that's what we've been, along with commodities, along with gold, along with Bitcoin, that's what we've been talking about the most in Rebel Capitalist Pro. I mean, what I'm looking at personally right now, Brandon, is real estate in Dubai. But I realize that's most people probably aren't going to want to buy real estate in Dubai. But if you just want what I'm doing personally, that's where I'm looking, along with those other places that I mentioned, because the real estate in Dubai, by almost any measure, is historically very, very cheap right now.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
Did you use options stock to protect your investment? No, I don't use options. I don't get that fancy. I probably should, but I don't. What is your opinion on treasury inflation protected securities? I mean, it depends on what you're trying to do, Chris. Is it better to buy tips or just buy? I mean, again, going back to Rebel Capitalist Pro, most people that ask us that question just want to put some cash on the sidelines to have as dry powder in case we see asset price deflation, that they'll be able to take advantage of that. In which case, what I do is I just roll over T-bills. If you've got more than the FDIC insurance number, which I was at 250. So if you got more than 250 in that account, I'd probably roll it with T-bills because you're gonna have a lot less counterparty risk than if you've got, you know, a couple million dollars in your checking account. Do you still think oil producers are cheap or they're not cheap? No, they're not. Now, there's some oil producers that are cheaper than others. I don't know that I would buy them right here. I don't, but I might, but they're not cheap. I think they were super cheap when I bought them back in March of 2020, because oil was under 30 a barrel. So if you go back and look at a chart of oil, I think Macro Trends has good charts on those. You can adjust for inflation and you'll see that it's pretty straightforward. When oil gets below 30 a barrel, it's cheap. When it gets above 80, it starts to become expensive. So, I mean, where are we, 65 right now or something? Honestly, guys, if it gets to 80, 90 in that zone, I might start selling some of the oil that I bought, some of the producers I bought back in March. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not about where you think the price is going. It's about playing by your rules. And my rule is if it's cheap, I buy it. If it's expensive, I sell it. So that'll be interesting when we start doing, if we get to that point where we're doing live streams and oil is above $80 a barrel. It'll be interesting to see if I'm selling at that point, the producers. Because again, if you're sticking by the rules, it's not about whether or not you think the price is going up or down. We're not timing the market. We're just asking the question, is it cheap or is it expensive? So stay tuned. We'll see what happens. What's going on with computer chip short? Well, I don't know specifically, Adam, but I would assume it's just the supply shock. I mean, we've got all this supply chain disruption. When companies don't keep a lot of inventory because they're trying to increase margins, just there's a laundry list of reasons why they do that. The just-in-time economy, I think they call it. If you've got a supply shock, if you have a disruption in the supply chain due to the Cerveza sickness or lockdowns or whatever, that's going to have an effect. And that's why at the beginning of this whole thing back in 2020, I was talking about stagflation because everyone was talking about demand. I got to give Schiff credit. Schiff was talking about the supply disruption as well. And, but you know, and again, I don't want to sit here and say that I'm a pro or I'm smart or, you know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I was thinking through, you know, not just the demand side, but the supply side as well. And I don't think very many people were. They're just seeing a massive decrease in demand and just thinking that means prices have to go down, but it doesn't. If the supply goes down faster than the rate of demand, then you can still see price increases. And that's kind of what I think we're seeing. But I think we're going to see more of it in the future. I don't think a lot of that supply is coming back anytime quick. I mean, think about how many businesses have gone bust. They're not coming back. Not anytime soon. Have you ever looked into investing in Chile? I have not. I know Simon Black, who is one of my favorites, has done a lot of investing there in agriculture. So I would look at his stuff. I think he grows blueberries and some other things there. And it's kind of like a geo arbitrage type of play where he sells them on the open market for the exact same as you'd sell blueberries grown in California. But he does it at a fraction of the cost because obviously his labor is a lot less. He has to deal with a lot less red tape. And he bought the land up front at a far lower price. Am I bullish on uranium? Yeah, I am. See, uranium's way different than oil right now. Because if you look at like a 30-year chart of uranium or even go back further than that, it's not even close to expensive. Like not even close. Like I know it's gone up a lot, but it isn't even close to where it has been in past, at least in the last bull cycle. So, I'm interested. And again, I'm not saying the price is going up. All I'm saying is that I think it could be a very interesting speculation because I think the asymmetry is there, meaning the upside is vastly greater than the downside right now. Just to FYI, uranium is another thing that I bought a lot of back in March. And I think, I mean, shoot, I think it's doubled, or I don't know if it's tripled in price what I bought, but I know it's more than doubled. But it still historically hasn't even moved very much at all. Do you think we will see stock market, real estate market crash by the end of the year, trying to buy a house since October 2020 unsuccessfully, or should I just invest my down payment in precious metals and wait? I mean, if you have to buy a house, I don't like putting it in precious metals because you're not matching up your, I don't know how to say this, but you're holding, you have to buy the house in dollars, right? You have to have dollars to buy the house, but you're putting it into what I would consider real money, which is gold. But that gold can lose purchasing power in that time frame. I would rather put it into a cash or a dollar equivalent, although that sounds crazy. But see, the thing is, though, it wouldn't be crazy for me because I would already own gold. I already have a 10% position for that reason. But I don't know. I don't know if I'd really... Yeah, I can't give you investment advice, my friend, but if it were me, I don't know if I'd be buying a house. In fact, I'm selling my houses that I own in the Midwest. I still have a couple, and I made sure that my property management company was not renewing my leases so I could sell them. One of the leases is done at the end of this month, and the other one is done in May. And as soon as they're done, I'm going to have the crew go in there, fix them up, make them look pretty, and I'm going to sell. Is it because I think prices are going down? Nope. It's for one reason and one reason only. Because right now prices are expensive. They're more expensive than they're officially now more expensive than they were in 2006. So I'm out. The market could double, it could triple, it could quadruple, it could go up 10x. I don't care because I just stick to the rules, because I know if I just stick to the rules over the long run, I'm going to come out ahead. That's my edge. It's just the law of large numbers is on my side if I do that. Okay. Here's one question. Deflation, downturn, then crack up. Maybe. Yeah, Adam. I mean, I did a video on that the other day where are we going to see a crash down or are we going to see a crash up? I mean, you've got to just Google Mises crack up boom. And it's very quick, easy to understand. And when you read it, it's just going to blow your mind because you're going to realize it was written so long ago, but it just perfectly describes what we're seeing today. Perfectly. And I don't know whether we see a crash up or a crash down. Let me put it to you this way. If the system remained the way it was prior to March and just didn't change, we would have seen and we would still be seeing a crash down in asset prices. Maybe not food, maybe not consumer prices, but asset prices. But it didn't stay the same. They broke the rules. If they would have abided by the Federal Reserve Act, if they would have acknowledged, even for heaven's sakes, the spirit of the law, we would have most likely seen asset price deflation. But again, they didn't. They ignored it. And it was my opinion that they would ignore it and change it. They did. And so now I think the probability, although we could have a massive deflation in asset prices, but I think the probability is that, I don't want to say that. I was going to say that there's a greater probability of it crashing up. I don't know. You know, I'm like 50-50. I hate to be on the fence about it, but that's my honest answer. I don't know. There's just such a great argument for both. And even though they've changed the system and completely ignored the rules, even though I think we're going to have MMT, we're going to have a central bank digital currency, we're going to see huge, huge, monumental deficit spending. I think we're going to see M2 shoot up. At the same time, I see, even if M2 is going up because of government spending, if the commercial banking system isn't lending, it goes right back to what Snyder and Brent Johnson say all the time. And I mean, they're right. They are so right that usually the M2 money supply is really a result, or the amount of currency units that are chasing goods and services in the real economy is a result of commercial bank lending. That the commercial banks are in charge of that. And they have been for a long, long, long time. And most people don't recognize that. They don't get it. But there's a lot of guys and a few gals on FinTwit that do, that really, really get it. And Snyder and Brent are one of those guys, or two of those guys. Steve is another one, Van Meter. But the question then becomes, although you could see a reduction in commercial bank lending, which would reduce the money supply, is the government going to increase the money supply by a greater degree, or to a degree where we'll see significant price inflation? And if the system remains the same, listen, the debt is overwhelming. We should have a deflationary crash in asset prices. I don't know that we would have a deflationary crash in consumer prices. Might go down for 6 months, but I don't see it doing more than that. But definitely with asset prices, right? It's just, I don't know. I mean, if there was like political gridlock to where they couldn't increase fiscal spending enough to counteract the reduction in activity or additional loans being created by the commercial banking system, then you're going to see asset price deflation. It's weird because it's moved from an economic question to a political question. And that's really tough to use game theory. Who knows what the politicians will do other than whatever it takes to buy more votes. And so why am I coming back to that point? Because it just depends on how much the politicians are going to spend and how much the Fed is going to monetize. It's in my opinion, that's what it comes down to. I think they're probably going to do MMT. How much? Meaning UBI. I think stimmy checks are not temporary. I think they will be permanent. But how much? I don't know. We'll see. And then, you know, how does the commercial banking system respond to that?
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
Have I considered investing in manufacturing? Not in the U.S. I'm not sure I follow the question. I don't know if you're talking about a specific country. How can you get this hat? You know what this hat was? It was a birthday gift from my editors and Sebastian, and then some of the people that work for me on the YouTube channel. This was back, would have been 2020, because we started the channel in the middle of 2019, I think, June or something, 2019. And so they bought me, in fact, they bought me this shirt too. They bought me both of these. They bought me this shirt, they bought me this hat, and they bought me a mug of me punching Jerome Powell in the face. And Catherine, the gal that does my thumbnails, did it on Photoshop. So she took these two boxers, and we used it for a couple of thumbnails, but the one boxer is punching the other boxer, you know, and he's like this. And so the one guy that's doing the punching, Catherine took my face and Photoshopped it on the guy, and the guy that's receiving the punch, she put Jerome Powell's face on. Oh, that was classic. Just be clear, I'm not condoning violence. I'm not, it's just YouTube. I'm not condoning violence at all. It's a funny mug. Well, I don't know if I can, the question is how much or what point is there investing in the United States with all the crazy people running the country? I don't know if I can answer that question directly, but what I can say is there are a lot of opportunities outside the United States right now where you can buy companies that are fantastic and the stocks are cheap. Another country that we were talking about, Rebel Capitalist Pro, the other day is Poland. And I know Chris is pretty bullish on Poland long-term. So that's just an example of it. If you're just hyper-focused on US right now, you're probably leaving a lot on the table. Yeah, I think the digital dollar, the question is, do you think asset inflation will impact the digital dollar when they have another measuring unit called a Fed buck or something like that? Is it going to be one-to-one? I would say yes. I can't imagine that they would do anything different. I mean, oh my gosh, the logistics of that just... I mean, unless we've experienced a ton of inflation, maybe they do it like a 100-to-1 or something, maybe. But if we keep on this trajectory right now, I think it's 1-to-1, because I think that we'll most likely see a central bank digital currency prior to the dollar getting to the point where it's like we're experiencing something that's even more significant than the 1970s. What do I think of Michael Burry's prediction? Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're following me on Twitter, but I that was on my Twitter feed, and Michael Burry had a couple tweets that sounded exactly like what I've been talking about in my videos on my whiteboards. I'm not implying Michael Burry is watching my YouTube channel. You know what he is doing though is he's listening to Macro Voices, and I'll tell you how I know this. Because I was doing a live stream with Lynn Alden the other day for Rebel Capitalist Pro. And it came up how Michael Burry actually retweeted one of Lynn's charts. So I'm like, oh, wow, Lynn, that's super, super cool. So is he following? I don't think he was following. I don't think he follows anyone on Twitter. But I'm like, how did he get your chart? He's obviously watching you on Twitter. That's pretty cool. And she's like, no. He must have listened to my Macro Voices interview, because the only time I've ever used that chart was on was that last time she was on Macro Voices. She's been on Macro Voices twice. One was like last week, I think. And I think it was one of the times that she's been on Macro Voices, she used that chart. And she did it originally, and she only did it for Macro Voices. She's never reposted the chart. So in order for Michael Burry to get that, he would have had to have listened to that interview on Macro Voices, because they always do like a chart book with on the podcast if you go to the website and register there. So the point is, Michael Burry is obviously listening, and safe to assume he's a big fan of Macro Voices, and he's obviously listening and probably a big fan of Lynn Alden. So, you know, kudos. That's a huge hat tip to not only my good buddy Eric Townsend and Patrick Serezna with Macro Voices, but also everyone's favorite, Lynn Alden. She's all of our favorites, and it comes as no surprise to me that she's one of Michael Burry's favorites as well. I'm starting a pet supply online retail company. Do you think now is a good time to start? Yeah. That's great. I think it's a fantastic idea. In fact, the last time I was in Puerto Rico, I had dinner with my good buddy, Eric Sue. You guys might have seen him on this channel. I've interviewed him a couple times for the George Gammon channel. He's not a macro guy or anything. He loves it. He's a super fan. But his specialty is digital marketing, and he's huge in that world. He's like a rock star in the digital marketing space. He does a podcast, his own, but he does one that's got a huge following with a guy named Neil Patel. And if you know anything about online marketing or online business, I'm sure you know who Neil is. So I was having dinner with Eric in Puerto Rico, and we had dinner. There's maybe five or six other guys there. They all did online businesses. They all had Amazon businesses and stuff. One of the guys there that I know just crushes it has a pet food business online. He sells organic pet food or dog food, something like that. But he just crushes it. So I know he's doing well. I think that's a great idea. Good luck with it. You can't even compare doing business today or starting a business online to what I had to do back in the day with a brick and mortar business when I had to borrow like $400,000 and put up my entire life savings and just on a wing and a prayer that this thing would work. And in 6 months, it could completely fail when you've got absolutely nothing. I could have started a business that brought in the exact same amount of profit for $500. Now, all you need is a website, a blog, expertise. You not got to know how to do it. Huge, huge, huge opportunity. So I think it's a great idea. I hope you do well. Question, if I could get you connected with a Dubai investor and my only request is to be there for the deal with a notepad to watch the magic, would you be up for it? I don't know, man. I like doing things on my own. I don't like really dealing with investors or any of that stuff. If I go to Dubai to look at real estate, it's because I want to invest my own money there. I don't really like, I don't have to work with investors. I've talked about starting a fund with Chris McIntosh, to invest in real estate, but, that's the only way I would deal with investors is if I was partnering with someone who was running the fund, so I didn't have to deal with them at all. All I had to do is just invest the money and manage the portfolio of the real estate and just make sure that we're kicking ass and then make sure that we're maximizing on our returns. But if it's not in that type of scenario, I don't want to deal with investors. Not that it's not a good idea. It's not what I'm saying. And I'd love to, meet people. I'm sure they could teach me a thing or two about Dubai. I just don't have any interest in managing other people's money right now. So, okay, guys, let's do some shout outs. I appreciate everyone hanging out with me. A little low key tonight is because I'm kind of tired and it's getting late here and I need to get some food. All right, but we got the shout outs here. We still got a ton of people on, so I appreciate you guys hanging out with me this late. Okay, Deal Donkey on Twitter. Thank you for hanging out. Tanzanite, Tech Nature, Tangible Investments, J. James 80, Ragnall Lothbrook, Amy Welling, Believe in Yourself, Yard Sailor, America's Soap, Bernie Knox, Michael Conrad, Patriot Girl One, America, Anne Toronto, AG47, Arthur Martinez, my buddy in the house. Hope you're well, Arthur. Wendy Barnett, Dakota Smith, all-nighter hider in the house. Daniel Jarrett, Lisa Lyons, Nicholas Michelson. My mood today one. Maxi Raider. Quantitative disease. Rigo MJ Graham Sarden. Hopefully I got it. Eagle Alex Z. Owen Jones. All right, guys. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and I will see you on the next video.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Capitalist Show. For more content like this, check out the Rebel Capitalist blog at georgegammon.com or go to the George Gammon YouTube channel.